broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
It was up for 6 years, and somebody suddenly says, I don't like
political
it.
Political correctness can lead to some kind of paralysis.
Obviously, you can't put knives in the hands of students.
I am completely on board your mother's horse and buggy.
Why are you disrespecting me?
What's a gay wife?
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass and go places other talk shows wish to God they could go to, but they can't, and that's just the way that is. Anyway, welcome back to our program, the number 877-876-PHIL. We broadcast nightly here from the El Pacifico. All over the country, and we are online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You can look at live streaming video of the show. If you're online right now, you can see me. It's not much to look at, but the show part is, you know, it's pretty weird. So you can watch us online. You can listen to our daily podcast, listen to the show online live, or hear the podcast, mini podcasts, classic Phil podcasts, as well as all of our archives that are being downloadable made downloadable every single day. And we also have those show logs, news feeds, and email response from me, Phil, if you're a Backstage Pass member. So pick up your BSP. 877-876-PHIL. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along the way in our news hour. And the first story here, guys, NPR, as we said last night, it was breaking last night that NPR had fired Juan Williams, Robert.
Yeah, what is it?
His name's Juan Williams.
And he's black, right?
Yeah, he's black. Why? Because he's got the name Juan?
Yeah, he said it because on account of if it's Juan.
It doesn't make any difference. I mean, there are black people named Juan, but I want to know whether I'd, you know.
Whether you want to go to bat for him or not, I think, Phil, that's racism. Or not racism, but it's bad that he doesn't want to do that.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. If the guy's name is Juan, are you telling me you don't know whether this has got nothing to do with what we're talking about. Do you understand that?
I just want to know, is he a Mexican?
No, he's not a Mexican. He's an American African American.
What?
He's an African American.
You said an American African American, right?
Yeah, I said an American African American. You can't be that dumb. I said an American, comma, African American.
Well, the fact that you did not make you didn't make it like it sound like a comma, you know.
Yeah, who cares, man? The cat's an African American. You got it? You understand that?
Yeah.
All right, now how do you feel about him?
He still doesn't like him because he still thinks he's Mexican.
For some reason, I don't know, I can't get over it.
Why, because of the name Juan?
Yeah.
Boy, that's real weird, man. Real weird, you know.
Why, because black people all have weird names anyway?
Yeah, a lot of black people do have weird names. Now, how do you feel about that?
That's probably racism.
Yeah, that is racism.
And look at, man, you pushed me into this, all right? Look, if I'm a white guy, if I think the name Dewan sounds weird, maybe you think the name Phil sounds weird.
I don't think that sounds weird at all.
But you think Juan sounds weird.
Yeah, for a black man who's not a Mexican, yeah.
Okay, well, why don't you take it up with him? We're not going to talk about that. That has nothing to do with what I want to talk about, okay?
See, I told you.
Well, I thought it was a very interesting topic.
It ain't an interesting topic. That's the whole thing about Juan Williams that you want to talk about? You thought he was a Mexican, so it was going to be hard for you to have sympathy for the guy until you found out he was black, but you still don't believe it? Look it, man. The headline says that NPR fired Juan Williams for, quote, Muslim remarks on Fox. What did he say about Muslims? He sort of agreed with O'Reilly, who's a meathead. But O'Reilly, I don't disagree with either one of these guys right now, although I disagree with the emphasis on Islam. I disagree with the emphasis on the following thing. Islamic states, Islamic people must be crazy, Islamic people must be jihadists, jihadists want to kill us, Islam bad. I do not make that connection. Now, Fox News host Bill O'Reilly stirred up the controversy as that dumb Mick will. I'm kidding about the Mick thing.
Yeah, see, man, you don't want me to be racist, but then you call out Mick.
It's not even the same thing. Bill O'Reilly stirred up controversy last week on The View after making the blanket statement that Muslims killed us on 9/11. That is a very ignorant thing to say, but O'Reilly's an ignorant man. He's not a smart guy. I don't give a damn how many college degrees he's got. I've never seen a guy with so many supposed college degrees, and in history. Are you sure that guy's got a history degree?
I can look it up.
Look it up again. How can a guy say everybody knows it was the Americans that massacred the Germans at Malmedy? How can a guy say that the Muslims tried to kill us on 9/11? How can you be a thinking human being? Anyway, it was a comment that led to co-host Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg walking off the set. So O'Reilly really accomplished what he wanted to do, and that was to get rid of Whoopi Goldberg. Anyway, on Monday, O'Reilly asked Williams if there's a Muslim dilemma in the United States, whatever the hell that means, and it's some kind of O'Reilly speak. The NPR analyst and longtime Fox News contributor agreed with O'Reilly that such a thing does exist, a Muslim dilemma. And added, of course, Bill, a lot of people don't know what you or I are talking about. I guess they're going to have to go over and get some of that Spin Factor merchandise, huh? And O'Reilly nodded up and down, wiping the sweat from his upper lip. Anyway, he said it did. That political correctedness can lead to some kind of paralysis where you don't address reality and irregular bowel movements. Williams said, I get on the plane. I got to tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb and I think, you dirty, greasy Arab, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims. I get worried. I get nervous. I think those lousy ragheads are going to blow my ass up. He didn't say that. But I don't know. All they're saying, he's speaking as a human being and as a news analyst, and that's what his job is, to analyze the news, to analyze the scene, to analyze each and every bit of information that comes our way. O'Reilly has a history BA from Marist College. Yeah, I'll bet he does. And what does that mean? A Bachelor of Arts in History. I got news for you, man. That doesn't mean anything. I know more about history than that jackass, and I ain't got a degree in anything, man. The last degree I had was 98.6.
That's what a doctor say.
Yeah, that's what the doctor did say. NPR informed Williams last night over the phone that he was being terminated because NPR thought they'd pull the same thing on Williams that CNN pulled on Rick Sanchez, not knowing the difference between the two of them, even though they both have Hispanic names. One is smart. He's a reporter. He's an analyst. He has brains. He writes thoughtful pieces. The other is sort of a gibbering, blithering idiot, but a nice guy.
Which is the one that's dumb?
You.
Ha 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 ha. Shut up.
An internal memo to NPR staffers by NPR CEO Vivian Schiller explains their actions against Williams. In the memo, it states, get a load of this. Now, is this in the audio? First of all, let me go to the audio. You're going to love what they wanted him to go to a psychiatrist.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. All right, let's go to some of this audio before we get back into the meat of this story, if you'll pardon the expression. Here is the comment that got Williams fired. Oh God, no. From NPR.
Political correctness can lead to some kind of paralysis where you don't address reality. I mean, look, Bill, I'm not a bigot. You know the kind of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country. But when I get on a plane, I got to tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous. Now, I remember also that when that Times Square bomber was at court, I think this was just last week, he said the war with Muslims, America's war with Muslims, is just beginning, first drop of blood. I don't think there's any way to get away from these facts.
All right, so that was one on the O'Reilly Show on Wednesday, right? Anyway, I don't know what day that was. Here on Fox News Today, Williams discusses how this firing went down.
Wednesday afternoon, I got a message on my cell phone.
So it was Wednesday, okay.
Wednesday afternoon, I got a message on my cell phone from Ellen Weiss, who's the head of news at NPR, asking me to call. When I called back, she said, what did you say? What did you mean to say? And I said what I meant to say, which is that it's an honest experience that when I'm in an airport and I see people who are in Muslim garb, who identify themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I do a double take. I have a moment of anxiety or fear given what happened on 9/11. That's just the reality. She went on to say, well, that crosses the line. And I said, what line is that? And she went on to somehow suggest that I had made a bigoted statement.
One of the things that you're hearing here is Juan Williams knowing exactly why he said what he said. You didn't hear that when in the past, and I'm not going to mention any names because people think I may be politically biased. I'm not. I like anybody that knows what it is they're saying and why they said it. Oh, all right, I'll give you an example. When we mentioned Christine Ferraro, who's the woman that ran for vice president?
I don't know.
Thank you. Geraldine Ferraro. Geraldine Ferrara made the comment about people voting for Obama because he's black. That's not a bad comment to make if you know why you said it. She didn't. She didn't. Now, here is Williams saying he wasn't even fired face-to-face, but he was fired over the phone by this gutless, no-good...
And then she said, you know, this has been decided up the chain. I said, you mean I don't even get the chance to come in and we do this eyeball-to-eyeball, person-to-person, have a conversation? I've been there for more than 10 years. We don't have that chance to have a conversation about this. And she said, there's nothing you can say that will change my mind. This has been decided above me, and we're terminating your contract.
Now, here is this woman, Vivian Schiller, and this is almost actionable. As long as they want to be touchy-feely at NPR, this woman, this CEO, somebody better put a sock in her mouth, because listen to her comments at the Atlanta Press Club earlier today about why Williams was fired, making a reference to Williams needing a psychiatrist for his feelings about Muslims.
Well, we're pleased that the network addressed Muslim concerns. It was really up to them what to do in response to this. And I think everyone is recognizing now that perhaps it wasn't a good fit between the network and Mr. Williams.
Why is that? Why is that? Because you're not allowed to express your honest opinions?
What is this? What is this? I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I have audio here that doesn't make any sense to me. This is supposedly cut four. Juan Williams fired face-to-face. And what I have here is Juan Williams fired reaction for NPR Prez. And I don't have that. I have Juan Williams fired reaction from CARE. So in a story that was important to me to do, we've screwed this audio up. So we're going to take a break, and I'll get back in a minute.
I don't know.
Well, go get the right stuff. Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, okay, here's the audio. I apologize. Here's the NPR CEO. Her name is Vivian Schiller. She tells an audience in Atlanta that the guy needs a psychiatrist, that being Mr. Juan Williams.
Juan feels the way he feels. That is not for me to pass judgment on. That is really his feelings that he expressed on Fox News are really between him and his, you know, psychiatrist or his publicist or take your pick. But it is not compatible with a news analyst on and with the role of a news analyst on NPR's air.
Now, what is that? What is the role of an analyst on NPR's news air or whatever you call it? Is it to analyze news? Is it to analyze the American scene, the American sensibility, the American reaction to the news? What do you call a news analyst? Ibrahim Hooper, the National Communications Director for the Council on American Islamic Relations, talks to Fox News' Megyn Kelly about the firing.
Well, we're pleased that the network addressed Muslim concerns. It was really up to them what to do in response to this. And I think everyone is recognizing now that perhaps it wasn't a good fit between the network and Mr. Williams.
Why is that? Why is that? Because you're not allowed to express your honest opinions?
No, because he had views on a number of issues that didn't reflect the viewpoint of the station. I mean, it's quite
obvious.
Which is
what?
The station.
Well, he was increasingly leaning towards the right, and the NPR obviously has a more liberal viewpoint, and there wasn't a good fit there, so perhaps this was the breaking point.
So there is the story on Juan Williams. Talking to a psychiatrist. See, National Public Radio has never gotten so much reaction and so much publicity. I can't think of a time that they've gotten as much attention as they are now. No one listens to them. No one pays any attention to them. Juan Williams is one of the few people on their network, not station, that got them, a fair amount of ink from every now and again. Now he's gone. And the reason why he's gone is because he expressed an opinion, which is, I get nervous on an airplane when I see some guy coming in there with a towel on his head. Okay.
He said towel?
No, he didn't say towel, but... And so they canned his ass. Every single... And the moral of the story is what, folks? Every single news channel has an editorial slant. There is no such thing as objective reporting. You know this, but or at least you think you know this. But if you know it to the extent that I know it, and what I've tried to tell you over the course of a couple of years, then you really know it. And that is, they will report anything, even horse dung, if it gets them more viewers or listeners, even if it's a lie. You have to understand. You must understand that. And I don't think people really believe that.
Well, I mean, they're not. Why would they lie?
If it got more viewers, why wouldn't they lie?
Yeah, but they're the people will know it's a lie.
No, they won't. No, they won't. No, not everybody. Just enough people will believe it's true, and just enough people will keep watching. And the next thing you know, they've got money, and they've got advertisers. They got viewers. That's all they want. Viewers, baby, viewers. Okay? People paying attention to the network.
Yeah. I don't know. Nobody's going to pay no attention if it's not...
What?
Well, if it's not true, why would they want to?
You're right. Why would they want to if it's not true? The problem is they don't know. They don't know, folks. I'll give you an example of propaganda at its worst. Bill O'Reilly has attempted to make himself the target of, quote, hate groups by saying that that's what he is, the target of hate groups. Bill O'Reilly doesn't know the origin of the idea of hate speech and people that express hateful things. He thinks that if someone calls him a scumbag, that's hate speech. Well, it's somebody calling him a scumbag, and it's not very nice, and it's sharp. But hate speech has to do, and always did have to do, originally, with targeting people of color, or targeting someone because of their race. Now, that was the origin of the discussion on hate speech. Now, what happened? Well, you know, because I go and I put a communion wafer in my mouth and someone doesn't like that, suddenly I'm the poor, innocent target of hate speech. Because I wear curly Q sideburns and I've got a funny-looking beanie, I'm the target of hate speech. Because I've got a towel on my head, I'm the... And all of a sudden, a voluntary act, which is to belong to a religion, suddenly this becomes the subject of hate speech. You know, now if you have a sexual orientation or a racial, you know, type or a gender, anything that you are born with and can do nothing about, anything that essentially makes you who you are, and someone is targeting you because of that, that is a hateful, ignorant thing to do, and we have to stamp that stuff out. We have to, because it's something people can't help the color of their skin. They can't help their sexual orientation. They can't help their gender. They can't help being disabled. But if you're going to say, ha, 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 you read the Quran and you have a towel on your head, that's not hate. That may be inartful. It might be stupid. It might not be funny. It might be a lot of things, but it ain't hate any more than it is hateful to mock a Catholic or mock the religious aspects of Judaism, of being Jewish, I should say. Racially, Jewish people being singled out for offense is also anti-Semitism, is bigotry, and is hate. All right, so that's that. That's today's lesson in how to think gooder. I'm Phil Hendry.
Now, are you going to run through that again, man? Because I'm, you know...
You trying to take notes, huh?
Yeah, I almost stayed awake for it. And the other...
Shut up. Almost stayed awake for it, huh? 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show. That's exactly what it is. And O'Reilly says that because people write nasty stuff about him over at the Daily, whatever, the Daily Bowel Movement, and the Daily Bowel Move On, he feels he's being targeted by hate groups. O'Reilly, here's a suggestion. Grow a pair, get yourself a little bit thicker skin, man up, butch up, whatever you got to do, quit your crying and whining. You got a great life. You have a wonderful world that you live in. You've got a big house. You've got a big head. You got a big car, and you've got a big bank account. And that's probably about the only thing you've got that's really big, if that intern's to be believed. And
that's bad.
No, it's bad. All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Mel Gibson loses his cameo role in Hangover 2, whatever. We'll tell you who complains, so what. Plus, we'll tell you why the White House canceled an upcoming trip to a Sikh temple. Phil Hendry Show equals podcasts, affiliate lists, uncensored rants at philhendryshow.com. Check it out. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What about that?
That's the funniest movie probably ever.
That's because you're an idiot.
Why do you say that?
Hangover is a funny movie. I'm Phil Hendry here with Robert and Bud. All right, so Mel Gibson's been cut from the Hangover sequel, which is called...
Hangover 2.
Hangover 2. And that's a perfectly acceptable and legitimate and fine name for a sequel. Hangover 2. Hangover was a funny movie.
You came back from it. You're all laughing your ass off and everything about it.
I was. I thought it was funnier than hell.
Then why you don't think that's the funniest movie you ever saw?
No, it's not the funniest movie I ever saw. That's one of the problems with you guys. You guys are young, and how many movies have you seen?
Are you kidding? I've seen billions. Billions and billions of movies.
I've seen, like, the funniest movie for me, probably, like, that one with Cedric the Entertainer and Steve Harvey, where they played the families.
I don't know the name of that, but yeah, that was a funny movie. That's not the funniest movie ever.
What about Cedric the Entertainer's The Honeymooners?
That sucked.
You kidding? That sucked bad.
All right. Well, I thought it sucked too. I'm just asking you.
Are we talking about funny movies, or are we talking about bullcrap?
Talking about funny movies. You don't think The Hangover was the funniest movie you ever saw?
No, it was not. But it was funny as hell. It was funny as hell. Don't get me wrong, man. I laughed my ass off, and I love that movie, all right? But I still got to say that Spinal Tap has the all-time award.
Oh, man, every time you talk about Spinal Tap, like, that's the best movie ever.
It's the funniest movie I ever saw, okay?
Yeah, but that's an old man movie.
Hey, guess what? Because I've seen a lot of movies, I have a broader base of movies from which I can pick and say, well, that's funny, that's funny, that's funny. Because you two clowns have only seen four movies.
What are you talking about, man?
You guys came back from Billy Madison thinking that was the funniest thing you ever saw.
That was funny then.
Yeah, it was funny then.
What about Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore sucks.
What about Some Like It Hot?
Some Like It Hot? You guys saw that?
No, but you did the other night on TCM.
I didn't sit and watch it. No, I didn't think it was funny.
Yeah, well, the American Film Institute says that Some Like It Hot is the funniest movie ever.
Isn't that nice? Well, I don't agree.
Oh, yeah, you're going to go against the American Film Institute?
American Film Institute. The American Film Institute? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. They say that Some Like It Hot, number one. Number two, Tootsie. Number three, Dr. Strangelove, or How I Love a how does it say?
How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
How I Learned to Stop Worrying. What does that mean?
Just keep reading.
Number four, Annie Hall. Number five, Duck Soup. Number six, Blazing Saddle. Number seven, MASH. Number eight, It Happened One Night. Number nine, I Graduate. Number 10, Airplane. I never seen none of those.
Those are all really old. I'll tell you what's the funny ones on that list. Some like, no, I don't know about Tootsie. Eh. Dr. Strangelove was pretty funny in parts. Annie Hall, pretty funny in parts. Duck Soup, I don't know, I don't care.
What is that?
Marx Brothers. You like those guys?
I've seen one time, what do you call it? Is that Before They Let Black People in Movies?
Yes, that is exactly Before They Let Black People in Movies.
That wasn't bad.
Which one's that?
The March, forget it, Groucho Marx?
Oh, yeah.
Blazing Saddles, you guys like the fart joke in that, right?
Is that the one where they fart on the beans?
Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, I figured you guys would dig that. It happened one night.
I don't know.
I never saw that either. The Graduate and Airplane.
I've seen a one part in Airplane where she blows up the autopilot.
So there you go. I think the list is very suspect. Anyway, in this movie, Hangover 2, Mel Gibson has been axed from Hangover 2. Okay.
They're going to have Mel Gibson?
Yeah, they were going to have him in the movie, but he was supposed to begin filming his cameo role as a tattoo artist in the next 2 weeks. Director Todd Phillips announced that Gibson would no longer appear in the sequel. Phillips told The Wrap, which is a entertainment website, "I thought Mel would have been great in the movie, and I had the full backing of Warner Brothers president Jeff Robinoff and his team. But I realized filmmaking is a collaborative effort, and this decision ultimately did not have the full support of my entire cast and crew." So what does that mean? Well, he had the backing of the studio, and he had the backing of the man, but he didn't have the crew or the cast backing, and guess what? One of the movie stars who may have had a beef with the actor, Zach Galifianakis.
Who's that?
I don't know. I'm not even pronouncing it right. Oh, Galifianakis. Yeah, Zach Galifianakis.
That the guy with a beard?
Yeah, in other words, one of the only guy in the movie that wasn't funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him. Zach Galifianakis, who reportedly complained about Gibson's casting during a podcast interview in early October after explaining that he turned down several projects in the past for moral reasons. Galifianakis, didn't turn this one down. Anyway, Galifianakis admitted to being in, quote, "a deep protest right now with a movie I'm working on, up in arms about something, but I can't get the guys to listen. I'm not making any leeway. It's very frustrating." Why, just because Gibson hates Jews?
Probably.
Now, since that guy man with the name of Galifianakis, it's got to be a Jew.
Sounds like a Greek guy to me. And don't say Jew like that, okay? Say Jewish person.
Why?
Because that's what I want. A movie you're acting in, you don't have a lot of control. You just show up and vomit your lines out. "I'm not the boss," he said. Although the boss will probably read that quote, Mr. Galifianakis, and fire you. The Hollywood Reporter wrote today that the, quote, "casting stunt also triggered an internal backlash at the studio." Well, I think it would have been a very funny cameo, and he's playing a tattoo artist. That's a riot. And these actors want to be in movies that are hot. They want to be associated with anything that's happening. You know.
I can't find no info on Galifianakis, on the name there?
Galifianakis, what?
I can't find any info on a religion.
Well, let's just assume that he's Greek Orthodox. How about that?
Why do you say that?
Sounds like a Greek name.
Well,
that's what it sounds like to me. So Gibson was going to be in this movie, and the studio dug it, and the director dug it, and everybody was in love with it. And suddenly the actors say, you know, you can take that and pound it sideways. We don't want to work with that slob know-how. How about that? Wow. I would work with the guy.
You would?
Sure. You know, it's just because I come from I personally, Phil Hendry, I come from some real middle to upper middle class white trash. Now, I don't say that about my family necessarily, but I come from the San Gabriel Valley. I come from Arcadia. Now, when I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley in Arcadia, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, it was lily white, man. Wow, was it white. Today, it's very Asian. It's a very beautiful city still, but a great many Asian people have moved in. Asian American people have moved in. But during the time that I grew up there, it was N-word this, N-word that, the S's, the Mexicans, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I grew up with a lot of guys that use the N-word. Now, how do I put this? Do I believe they were racist? Yeah. Do I believe they were bad men? No. Do I believe that once they were exposed to life beyond the realm of Arcadia, did I see them expand as people? Yes, I did. In other words, what I saw were not so much racist people as they were uneducated. And so Mel Gibson strikes me as that kind of a guy, you know.
Are you kidding me, man? That guy's been all over the world.
And he can go anywhere, and he's met all kinds of Negroes. Why would that bother him?
Don't call him Negro, man. He met black people. Okay.
Well, that's what I mean.
All right, so Mel Gibson's been all over the world. Mel Gibson hangs out with who he wants to hang out with. He sees who he wants to see. He is who he is, and that's what it is, man. You know?
What does that mean, he is what it is, and that am what it is? I mean, what is that?
What I'm saying is that guy, just because he's got dough doesn't mean he's been anywhere. Doesn't mean that he's expanded his horizons in terms of people. So, you know, I think the guy's more stupid. Now, with a guy like Gibson, though, I got to admit, his old man is a real piece of work. So maybe he is just a rabid racist, and it ain't never going to be anything different. You know? But if you're not going to work with every dumbass white man that comes along, if you're going to say, I won't work with him, then who the hell are you going to work with, you know?
Well, there's got to be a couple of white guys that ain't being like that and everything like that.
They can work with me.
Yeah, well, what do you mean to work with you, man? You ain't Mel Gibson.
What is it with you guys and Mel Gibson, by the way?
I mean Mel Gibson.
What about you?
I thought that was his name.
Mel Gibson.
I thought of Mel Gibson.
It ain't Mel Gibson. And first of all, if you're going to pick and choose about who you're going to work with, I'd work with a guy.
Yeah, and then if a black guy called him a N-word.
That's between him and the black guy. But you know what? Guy like that, he's going to learn nothing, man. If I'm in a scene or I'm hanging out with him and we're working in a movie and he says N-word this or Jew that, I just tell him, listen, man, you don't talk like that.
You're going to tell Mel Gibson that?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to tell Mel Gibson that. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, and you'll never be in a movie ever again.
Oh, well, I guess that's done on that. I somehow don't think that's true, man. Maybe I won't ever be in a Mel Gibson movie. Yeah, I'm going to say something. Nobody's ever said that to him. Somebody ought to say, you know what, clean it up, man. And if he's dropping that N-word and there's a black actor there, the guy probably to kick his ass. Now, he never work in a Mel Gibson movie, but that doesn't mean he'll never work again.
I don't know, man. I mean, you beat Mel Gibson or Giblin's ass, you are definitely not going to be... people are going to be very aware about hiring you.
Giblin? Can't say that?
Yeah, it's Gibson. I know it is Gibson.
No, only you pronounce it wrong.
No, he pronounced it right. I mean, pronounced it. You know, I'm hanging around you guys so much, I can't even talk right. Pronounced it. Anyway, so Mel Gibson has been cut from the Hangover sequel. That sucks. That would have been funny. Meanwhile, National Guardsman uses his uniform and his M16 to get stadium access. Now, let's say you want to go to the Super Bowl. Let's say you want to go to a big football game, right? And let's say you want to have on-field access. You want to watch that ball game, and you want to see the helmets cracking, and you want to see the blood flowing. And let's say you ain't got a ticket. All you have to do is get into your National Guard uniform, take one of your two M16 rifles with you, unload it, because they won't allow loaded weapon in the stadium, and tell them that you're with the honor guard, and just flow right in.
That guy did?
That's what a guy did in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He got onto the field with two M16 rifles during the Michigan-Michigan State game October the 9th. But he wasn't supposed to be there. He was a 42-year-old. He's a full-time member of the National Guard from Southeast Michigan. He arrived to the game in full uniform. He said he was with the dress honor guard. And they said, oh, okay, cool. So he goes out onto the field. He gets through the tunnel. He later gained access to the field. After he did that, a member of the official honor guard told a cop that he was not a member of the honor guard that day.
Oh, I wonder what the one I squeal on him for.
I don't know. Maybe it reflects badly on the National Guard to have some clown doing something like that. I mean, that's compromising security.
What? That guy did a good thing. They shouldn't have squealed on him.
I'm going to say it again. Maybe it's a point of honor for the National Guard guys because it compromises security. They don't want to be seen like a bunch of clowns. What do you think this is, man? A fraternity?
Well, what's that going to do?
It's going to make them look like a bunch of jackasses. So he says that dude there is breaking the rules and regulations on the security of the stadium, and we want to let you know that. I think they did a good thing. Anyway, when they went over to this jackass, he said he wanted to see the game. He couldn't get a ticket, and he thought he'd use his uniform to get in. All right.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. It's genius, the jackass. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Is your dog embarrassed when you put him in a Halloween costume? If this were like 4 years ago, I'd swear it was a bit that we did, but there's actually discussion on whether or not animals can be embarrassed. The Phil Hendry Show, online at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Henry.
Oh, there's another piece of bumper music we got to get rid of.
Yeah, make a note.
Make a note of that. God almighty, I'm so sick of that. I think I'm going to join Kurt Queedy in puking up the lining to my stomach. Anyway.
You really believe he's going to do that?
No, he ain't going to do that. That's him trying to make a point about how much he hates something, puking up the lining of his stomach. That's about as disgusting a thought. White House cancels Obama trip to Sikh temple, that and more. You know why? Because if he goes to a Sikh temple, some of the dumbasses around here are going to think he's a Muslim. Got nothing to do with it. That's like saying, you know, I better cancel my trip to the Presbyterian church because somebody's going to think I'm Jewish. Anyway, experts differ on whether Halloween costumes embarrass dogs. Now, I swear to God, folks, this is something. Were this 5 years ago, you'd swear that this was a bit we were doing on our, you know, with one of our characters. You'd swear it. But no, it's not. Maybe it's because the bit we did with one of our characters actually inspired real life. And today we have why dogs hate Halloween. Why? Because the costumes embarrass them. Do dogs feel humiliation? Experts, and I put that in quotes, disagree on whether or not they do. Sonia Fitzpatrick, who is the author of The Pet Psychic, or whatever the hell that is that like a show?
Yeah, I think it's a show where she like reads her mind or something.
Well, she don't read their mind.
Yeah, that's what she does.
Well, yeah, I guess she reads their mind, but not the way you read a person's.
What do you mean she reads their mind? Let me hear. Jason's got something here. It's a radio show, Pet Psychic Show.
Yeah, but they read the mind.
Read what mind?
They read, well, he says they read the mind of a cat, but.
Read the mind of a cat? What the hell are you going to. What are you going to see there, man? A big fish?
You don't laugh about it, man. It's on Sirius XM and talk about it.
Now I know why this is in the news. Because this woman is on Sirius XM, and they were able to shove this into the Houston Chronicle. Nice going, guys. This isn't a news story. This is Sirius XM getting a little bit of ink for Sonia Fitzpatrick, the pet psychic, who can read a cat's mind.
What are you laughing about?
What do you mean, what am I laughing about, man?
You read a cat's mind, what do you see, a big fish?
Yeah, you see a big sea bass. By the way, Sirius stock, $1.30. Now then.
Wow.
Anyway, they feel everything, and they know when people laugh at them, said Fitzpatrick, who lives in the Woodlands. What the hell is that? Oh, that's in Houston. Oh, okay. Well, no wonder she got in the Houston Chronicle. She's a local. I talk to thousands of animals, and even if people laugh at them, if they have been cut too short, it really hurts their feelings? She has 7 dogs and uses only bandanas for their accessories. That's because dogs are embarrassed by fedoras, sunglasses. They do like the bandana, and of course, they don't mind the 3-piece suit, but it depends on the occasion.
Really?
No, not really.
What do you think, man?
Well, you're talking about him reading a cat.
Me reading a cat? Her reading a cat.
Well, what'd she say?
Well, she's not talking about them wearing business suits. Pet psychic Patrice Ryan of Los Angeles says one doesn't have to be a pet psychic to know some animals do not like to play dress-up. Just observe their body language. I trust that, what's the guy's name?
Dog Whisperer.
The Dog Whisperer. That's my main man. That guy there, he knows what he's doing, okay? He's talking about dogs like they're dogs, okay? Not reading their minds. And he talks about how they're animals, and that's how you treat them like animals, not like human beings. It seems to me that these people, this Fitzpatrick, she's treating them like people.
Well, why do you say that?
Because she can read their minds.
No, I'm not saying you can, like, you can read a cat. I'm not saying read their mind like a person. You read a cat's mind.
What is it with you reading a cat's mind, man? What about reading a dog's mind?
Well, same thing.
No, you guys are nuts. You don't get it. You don't get it. This woman is doing everything what the Dog Whisperer says you shouldn't do.
What's he say?
He says you got to treat them like dogs, man. You don't read their minds and dress them up in hats.
Yeah, but she's saying the same thing.
What? Excuse me? Cesar Millan. Yeah, I know who he is. Anyway, a pet can tolerate a lot, but some animals don't like the tightness, weight, or texture of material. But if the dog feels humiliated, it is the human's fault. That's according to Patrice Ryan, who's a jackass. Animal communicator and author Val Hart of San Antonio agrees that pets pick up on their humans' cues. Clearly, some pets love wearing fancy clothes and others dislike it. She said the last time...
What are you laughing at, man?
What do you mean a cat, an animal, likes to wear fancy clothes? What are you talking about?
Well, that's what they're saying.
Ain't you ever seen a little kid where they want to dress up in like a bowler hat or something?
A little kid wants to dress up in a bowler? No, I've never seen that.
Well, you know what I mean.
Oh, okay. So a little kid and a dog, basically, you know, you're talking like one of those PETA jackasses. Those people think that dogs, little kids, same thing, and they should have equal rights under the Constitution. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, if a kid wants to wear a derby and a dog too, what's the difference?
First of all, man, if a kid wants to wear a derby, he's going to grab a derby wherever he's going to find that and put it on his head. If a dog wants to wear a derby, how am I going to know whether a dog wants to wear a derby or not?
Exactly. You got to be able to read.
Yeah, got to read its mind.
Oh, that's right. Well, I better bring in the pet psychic to read its mind. The first thing she's going to tell me is that dog wants to wear a derby. Phil Hendry's show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Charles Wagon. Our associate producer and screener is Dan Northcraft. Sirius stock, $1.30. Let me say that again. I'm kidding. All right. Well, I'm not kidding. It is $1.30, but... anyway, subscribe to our website for real radio, all right? PhilHendryShow.com. That's PhilHendryShow.com. BSP, baby!
Phil Hendry.